Tuesday, November 1st, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. On the cattle, Wednesday's online live cattle auction will be a very positive contribution to price discovery this week. The way through supplies to kill cattle, and packers are doing that, running an aggressive chain speed reflective of their positive margins. Live cattle futures are far under feedlot asking prices to start the week. The jump in feeder cattle price is going to make feedlots more stubborn to get paid for fats. Technically, it would appear that the rally from the October low is five waves in live cattle, which is bullish, suggesting a more significant bottom has been seen. After five waves up, we should finish a three-wave correction that pulls back to fill the upper chart gap before strength resumes. The setback should find buyers. There's now an inverted head and shoulders chart pattern under feeder cattle. The basis in feeder cattle is completely inverted. Milk prices rebounded to test old broken support as resistance. The dairy industry has been suffering from its own skill and success generating increased productivity, increasing the supply of milk despite a cow herd that has been flat. The dairy industry is a significant provider of ground beef from the coal cows. According to Oklahoma State Extension, dairy cows make up 22% of all cows, but nearly half of the coal cows, as they spend less time in the herd than beef animals. There's a much faster turnover of dairy replacement heifers. Given the increase in productivity, the dairy industry either finds new markets or trims cow numbers. The combination of improved pasture and range conditions across the United States and heifer retention into the beef cow herd has reduced beef cow slaughter. This too could be on the cusp of change as feeder cattle prices have deflated cow-calf profits, and there is a growing drought in the Old South that is intensifying to where the region will have trouble holding stocking rates. There's a portion of several states, including Georgia and Alabama, that are starting to look like California on the NOAA drought map. On the hogs, last week's shorter-than-expected kill was still Hurricane Matthew-related, as they had to shut the Smithfield Tar Heel plant down again to work on lagoons. The storm made a mess out of a lot of lagoons that will raise some environmentalist hackles. October pork month may be over, but we hope retailers remain focused on moving the enormous tonnage through the holidays. Hams could get very cheap. It makes it tough on pork and beef when chicken prices fall over 20%. Chicken tenders priced at $1.43 are nearly the same as Iowa chops at $1.69. And pork should be able to compete with chicken well at near the same price per pound. I do not see the justification of the increase in chick sets that we've been seeing and would expect integrators to slow the chicken supply chain to some degree. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. 87% of the soybean crop is harvested, slightly behind a year ago. Most soybeans here came out at relatively high moisture, which should help the yield slightly. We would rather have them at 13% instead of 9%. A lot of the soybeans that are left are double crop further south. They should yield better than average too, given the August moisture. USDA will increase the U.S. yield again in their crop report this month, but that should not be a surprise. I think the market has expected higher yields and larger supply. What has held the soybean market where it has been recently are things like export inspections being over 105 million bushels last week, which is the second largest ever. Favorable South American planting progress and weather got their soybean crop off to a good start. Something's going to have to disable some demand to give bears control. 75% of the corn crop is harvested. The wet conditions we have had in past months has now lingered in the form of high humidity. We've had cloudy days and even heavy fog. Field drying conditions have been poor. We continue to get a few reports of corn yielding higher than a year ago. There was a lot of talk about how this crop wouldn't measure up to the previous year's yield record, but in many cases it did. In most others, it was close. I would expect any change in the corn yield in the USDA November crop report to be mostly a rounding adjustment. I'm not a member of the group out there that thinks that the USDA has the corn crop overstated. Many who are in that group are in offices looking at computer models, so this would be a good test of observation. I'm usually not one to challenge technology, but I think their models are off. The other general statement you can make about both the corn and soybean crops is that they are consistent across the Corn Belt, without a region that significantly underperformed, as was the case in 2015. In the case of corn, we have a burdensome carryover, and while demand is good, it's more difficult to see where we go from here. Ethanol plants are humming at capacity. Livestock producers are losing money. And exports have been filling the hole from South America. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at Comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.